Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Holtcast. It's time to dive into Aston Villa's 1-0 win over Leicester City. Well, well, Villa fans, we're still rolling on getting those W's, aren't we? Welcome back to the Holtcast once again. Cole Pettim here, as always. And as always, Danny Raz is here as well. Danny, how are you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks. I think he's a... It was an interesting game. Very, very interesting game. Tactically, both teams trying to cancel each other out. And just Villa are going to be delighted with that. I'd imagine so much celebrations probably going on in the dressing room. Ross Barkley delighted with that 90th minute goal. And yeah, we've seen a couple of screamers in the Premier League over the weekend. But yeah, I think Barkley in competition with Lanzini over at West Ham for last minute screamers, really. Just good to see all around.
Yeah, it's been a mental weekend. I think there's over 26 or maybe 28 goals now. I can't remember exactly when I was counting them up earlier, just after the Villa match. So it's definitely been a hefty weekend with goals. Of course, there's two games tomorrow as well. So you'd probably expect this weekend to have over 30 on its own. So it's kind of proven to be a season where nobody can defend still for the most part. So that's good to see. But of course, we are here for Aston Villa 1, Leicester City 0. Another, like I said before, another perfect start, or I guess the first one in 90 odd years, even though I tweeted out 19 in error, but nonetheless, very, very happy with this result. Danny, let's dive right into it, because it was 0-0 literally up until the extra time in the 90th minute, and here comes Ross Barkley to save the day. What were your thoughts kind of on the game as a whole?
Yeah, I think it was very cagey. It was very cagey. I think both teams utilizing their number of allowed fouls throughout. I think a lot of stifling the other side's creative. I think what we have to firstly premise is the fact that preface is that Leicester were missing Jamie Vardy. They were missing Kaglash Yunju, and a couple of other players as well, important players. James Maddison didn't start because, you know, he's not been 100%. So I think firstly, you've got to look at that Leicester City side and think, well, Villa have a chance here. But yeah, they still had that pace. Harvey Barnes doing the business, Iosi Perez, Iheanacho. But I think Leicester focused so hard on stopping Villa today, ultimately, that eventually it caught up to them. I think that's what happened. I thought throughout the game this was going to be a 1-0 nicking, whether it was going to be from Leicester or for Villa. But I tell you what, it had to come from a counterattack, didn't it?
Oh, 100%. And like you've kind of mentioned there, Danny, it was one of those games where people might look at this as a 1-0 result and think there's not really much into this game. And to be honest, this is probably one of the best 0-0s I've ever seen. Maybe that's just kind of poor on me to say that, but it was pretty entertaining. There wasn't obviously too much in the first half, but second half allowed a lot of kind of counterattacking both ways, both teams breaking each other down, creating opportunities. But a lot of people that I was looking at on Twitter, kind of reading things out post-match, were even saying, you know what, maybe you have to give some of the hand to Leicester, saying they're the better side. But to be honest, Danny, you'd have to say we had the better chances by far.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think Leicester did have a couple of chances to trouble Villa, but I think they were more from set pieces. And I think really Villa defended particularly well. There was times, I think, when Leicester probably could have gone through. I think in the opening 10 or 15 minutes, there was misplaced passes. I think one from Douglas Luiz counted and one from Tyrone Mings, who generally is very solid, but he does have his one defensive error in him per game. I think it tends to happen in terms of a misplaced pass, but that's what you get from, you know, from Villa wanting to play out the back, and you know that's the risk that comes with it. That's fair enough. That's the manager's choice. But I think, yeah, from Villa's point of view, I just thought that there was probably times when Villa could have pulled the trigger more. I think it was very much sort of Leicester were jockeying back. They had a lot of men behind the ball. And so Villa would kind of, you know, let's work to get the opportunity. Let's try and get this through them. And I think every single time that happened, Leicester were just able to sweep up. They were just able to sweep up. And I think if we're going to take anything from that winner in the end, it's that Villa probably just needed to take their shots a little bit more. And I think that's the major criticism which Jack Grealish is gonna get. And I think one of the major criticisms that he's been getting for, you know, a couple of his England performances. It's not something that I would criticize him for in terms of that, but you can see where people are coming from. Sometimes you just need to shoot, but when you're getting to the point where that's what you're criticizing a player for, you know they're good.
Oh, 100%. Like, if that's the biggest worry today, that Jack Grealish didn't release a ball quick enough, held on for it too long, yada, 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 and you still won, you can't really complain too much. I mean, we'll get into it maybe in a minute here, but this kind of just screams of a game that we definitely wouldn't have won last season. Once again, I kind of feel like an old broken record. This is just another example of us improving leaps and bounds from last season and kind of carrying that momentum from the end of last season. And kind of, you can kind of almost see the boost of staying up and what that's done to everybody. Gives them a year of Premier League experience, keeps them, of course, in the league, keeping Jack Grealish, adding Ross Barkley, adding Bertrand Traore, Emiliano Martinez, Cash. I almost forgot his first name, Matty Cash.
Yeah, Matty Cash, yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's simple enough to say that the players that we have brought in, even though kind of starting the window when we looked at it, thinking, well, why would we bring in a right back? Why a goalkeeper when we already have four? We've improved in the key areas that Dean Smith personally thought we needed to, and it's exciting to see. But let's stick on the Grealish talk here for a second, because I guess maybe we can kind of play negative Nancy here for a moment. Holding on to the ball too long, or is it more so kind of waiting for an opportunity and wanting to be the player that makes that key pass? Which kind of way do you go with that, Danny? Because to be fair, there's a few instances we both know where he did hold on for it too long. But to be fair, there are also a couple times where, well, I think Trezeguet had one in the first half where he just missed. And, well, he skinned about three players at once, at least twice. So where do you kind of fall in that spectrum?
Yeah, listen, I think this is where you have to go back to. This was two very good teams. Leicester defended well. They defended very well. I think that if you want to go and compare this between Liverpool and Leicester, right? The Liverpool game, they played such a high line that Watkins was going to get free. Grealish was going to get free. Some of Grealish's best attacks in the game were actually when Leicester, you know, on the rare occasion, did send a lot of guys forward. And that's, you know, a couple of times when I think Villa's really their best attacks came from their counter attacks. But for the most part, when you saw Grealish and Watkins kind of going forward, and by the way, there were criticisms of Watkins not really getting a lot of the ball today. That was happening when, at the same time, Leicester, you know, they were getting men on Grealish. They were getting men on Watkins. They were making sure that there wasn't any space for them to run into. They were tight on Villa. They were very, very tight on Villa. And I think, you know, give credit to a team who are missing key defensive players. You know, give credit to a team that did that. And I thought that the teenager that played for them, Wesley Fofana, did a really good job as well. I just think that Leicester defended well. And so for Jack, he was getting into the area and they held their ground. And there was the rare occasion. There were a couple of times when Jack Grealish managed to get past them. Let's get this straight. An average winger does not make it through that many defenders like that. They don't dribble past two or three in close proximity. Jack Grealish does that on multiple occasions during a game. And for whatever reason, today, he didn't manage to find that killer pass, or it wasn't finished. And I think that's all it was to it. I think two very well-matched teams. Yeah, that's all it is. Leicester defended well.
Yeah, 100%. I couldn't agree more. If anything, it probably drove Graham Souness even madder, the fact that he held on the ball that long in certain instances.
Graham Souness?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What did he criticize Jack
recently? Oh, doesn't the man always criticize him? Like, long grass, you know what I mean?
Oh, long grass, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Had to jog your memory there, buddy. It's okay. But, no, nonetheless, I think the one excuse that I can give Jack if you noticed, Danny, and I'm sure other people may have noticed as well. If you didn't, we'll let you know right now. But the one thing I noticed with Ross Barkley is he was playing a hell of a lot deeper. Now, of course, at times he needed to, which was very smart when you're dealing with the midfield that Leicester has, which is still very good. So in those instances, when I'm looking at that, he dropped back when he needed to be. Did it leave Jack a little isolated? I would have liked to see maybe Target push up a little bit more at instances as well, because there was definitely times where you'd expect your central midfielder or your left back to either overlap or kind of provide that support. And of course, Jack has the roam of the land. He can free roam. He can go really where he wants with the ball when he wants. That's his prerogative, and it's been that way since basically day dot. So we're used to that, but I think kind of the masterstroke came when you kind of saw Ross Barkley near the end of the game push up more, and we started to see more open opportunities. And then you also had John McGinn drop back a little more. Now, I think a lot of people look at that midfield of McGinn, Luiz, and Barkley, and obviously some people come out saying it's one of the best midfields in the league, which I'll take. I'm not going to comment on that because we're going to get called deluded probably. But some people may wonder, well, with McGinn and you have Barkley, who's going to stay back and hold back there? Because you can't just leave Dougie Luiz by himself. But they just seem to complement each other so well. The communication seems key. Mm. And that is key, because one's staying back, one's moving forward, one's going forward, one's staying back. It's working very, very well. And to be honest, I would prefer if McGinn stays back a little bit more, because I think his ball quality in terms of long ball delivery has been top notch this season. So it's great to see that aspect. So, but nonetheless, let's get on to kind of, I guess we'll get on to the goal kind of, because why not? And if you have anything.
That's McGinn and Barkley, man. That's McGinn and Barkley.
Again, that's him pushing up.
That's McGinn pushing up though, man.
Well, that is him too. I think at that point though, you're kind of throwing everything in the sink per se. Like, you could easily see probably from the 85th minute on, both teams are pushing forward. It was very back and forth. But like you've just said, Danny, it's an instance where our midfield wasn't afraid to push up. Last season, that wouldn't have happened. It would have been, okay, it's 0-0. We will take this point.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Were you surprised by this point? It's the 90th minute, yeah? You're thinking, all right, it's 0-0. Leicester, they're threatening a bit more now. They're threatening a bit more. They've got James Maddison on. They've got Slimani on. Do you not think Dean Smith was considering looking at his bench and going, Marvelous Nakamba, I need you on the pitch right now. I need you to make sure that Leicester don't have a grip on on the midfield here. That Leicester don't get a grip on this game. Were you surprised that Nakamba's not on the pitch by this point? Because that seems to be one of his favourite substitutes.
See, this was actually the thing that I was going to message you literally probably in the 70th minute and saying, or maybe a little bit before that, saying, where's our substitution? Because if I'm thinking correctly, I think Leicester made about two, if not all, their substitutions.
They made all the subs, yeah.
Yeah, before we even made one. So I was a little concerned there, but at the same point, it was one of those situations that, yeah, some players look a little tired. Both players do on both ends, both teams. But if nothing's broke, don't fix it. It just seemed to keep working. We were creating opportunities. Both sides fared enough. We're defending was good on both sides. So when I look at Dean Smith in this game, I'm thinking, like in my mindset, I'm assuming he's thinking, you know what? I believe in this 11 right now. Let's play this out a little longer. And then it kind of comes up again. Should I? No, let's play it a little longer. And that's kind of what it seemed to be. It was a bit of a cat and mouse moment to see kind of who's going to take that opportunity. And
it's
then
like kind of trying to keep the balance, isn't it?
Exactly. You're kind of trying to play things out and think like, okay, if we go 1-0 down, then maybe I'm just going to have to throw everything at it and go for it. Or if, you know what, if it's say the 80th minute and it's just not looking likely, maybe he thought, okay, well, we'll set up shop. But no, he believed in it. He brings in an attacking player like Bertrand Traore. Trezeguet goes off, who, by the way, if we mention him for a brief moment, had, in my opinion, a hell of a game. The man has improved leaps and bounds. He is all over the pitch. But kind of getting to Bertrand Traore, how did you feel he fared in his, what, I don't even know if it was 10 minutes or so. I can't even remember, to be honest. But how did you think he fared? Because it looked decent from the few balls he did play. But what do you expect of him going forward, too?
I don't know what to expect yet, because we haven't seen him play a significant amount of time against the Premier League side yet. So I think it's tough to say. I think he's a very classy player. I think he's a very classy player. I think that, you know, he's there was a one ball he played over to Grealish, I think, when he switched it. But he seems to sit a little bit deeper, to be fair, than Grealish tends to. Or I think sits a little bit deeper than Trezeguet even. Or maybe he just seems that way because he seems a little bit more static. No, not a little bit less static. I don't know what I'm saying. But it's almost like with Bertrand Traore. You never see him running down the pitch to get in behind. He's almost like, no, let me pick this up from deep and see, you know, and he almost seems to kind of look at what's ahead of him before making his move, right? But I think we needed him on at that point because... Oh, yeah. Because Trezeguet, as good a game as he had, and I thought he was exceptional. Once again, you know, with the interceptions and the tackles that he was making, helping out Matty Cash on that left-hand side, on Leicester's left-hand side, just really kind of helped to keep Harvey Barnes quiet. The man made three tackles.
Yeah.
He made three tackles. He's a right winger, Cole. By that point though, he got dispossessed a couple of times. He'd lost the ball a couple of times, and I think that's why we needed Traore on. And I think he did give Villa a little bit of added creativity, and I think it did make Leicester have to think a little bit more. I think, you know, he dragged out James Justin a couple of times on that right hand side, and I thought that he communicated very well with Matty Cash.
Do you think, kind of going back to Matty Cash, actually, do you think he should have been kind of substituted off earlier on? I was growing a little concerned as the game went on, where there's a few instances where he was getting caught out, and obviously there's the one where I can't remember, maybe it was Harvey Barnes who fell over just before the box, Cash falls over him, but it's just kind of a coming together at that point. But there's a few instances, obviously aside from his yellow cards, where he literally pulled the man's pants down.
Arguably man of the match.
Show some skin, right? But yeah,
he's arguably man of the match.
You think so?
Arguably. I mean, you look at Grealish and Barkley Shaw as attacking players. You know, fine. They didn't create that much going forward. They didn't create that much. Barkley obviously had that screamer, and that's probably what you give it to him. But Matty Cash was arguably man of the match. I thought he had a fantastic game at right back. He did really well, kind of going forward as well. But I thought also, I think there was a last ditch tackle he made in the box at one point during the game. I can't remember who it was that was going to go straight through, but somebody was going to go straight through, and Matty Cash made a last ditch slide tackle in the box. And you know what? That it's just great to see. Yeah. I think we've got such an aggressive little right back there, you know, and he's also got ability going forward as well. Like, let's not take anything away from him there. And I think that, yeah, obviously the Harvey Barnes foul was a foul, but it was a professional foul. He lost the ball and he did something about it. He didn't just let himself kind of feel sorry for himself, which I guess is what you need. And there were professional fouls from both teams. You've got teams that can break against you like that. Look how many times it happens to Grealish. When you've got teams that break against you, like sometimes it's a split decision. I'm not condoning fouling, but sometimes you've got to wonder, right? Do I go in for this 50-50 here? You know, do I maybe get a little bit physical with the player, or do I just let them brush past me? And Cash is not the type of player to just let a player brush past him.
Yeah, well, we have an all-English defense, Danny. I think for the England Ultras, I think they're probably loving to see that because it's actually working. So,
yo, listen, was it two goals conceded all season so far?
Yeah.
Southgate, man. Look at Konsa.
Seriously, I am more impressed with Konsa this season than I am Mings, and that's no slight on Mings. I'm not saying Mings has done anything wrong, but that man, Konsa, has improved the most out of anyone I've seen this team, and that's including Trezeguet, in my opinion. Like,
yeah, I agree.
He's went from this very young, maybe you could say, describe him as a fragile, still learning his craft kind of player.
Yeah.
And he's just developed into this full force. Like, it's unreal. Like, yeah, there's some times, of course, where he gets caught out. But in my opinion, that's why him and Mings work so well together, because communication's everything. And we're seeing that. So fair play to Ezri Konsa. Like,
you know what? I do wonder if Brentford are just a little bit upset that they didn't hold on to him and get that Ollie Watkins money.
Oh, Danny,
get that Benrahma money.
The man intercepted a ball, I'm pretty sure, and ran like right through the Leicester midfield. And I literally thought it was going to be another Alan Hutton moment for a second when he kept running and running and running. And I'm thinking, no, there is no way you're setting this up. But it didn't happen. But nonetheless, like,
went a good cross, nearly scored.
Yeah, but like the confidence to do that and to create those opportunities as a center back, it's quality. Mm. But let's get on to Ollie Watkins now, because I think some people, unfortunately, on Twitter like to be a little harsh on the guy, even though we just scored a hat trick the other game. But nonetheless, yeah. How did you feel about him today?
I think he did it. I think he had a decent game. I think he pressed the back line quite well. I think, yeah, he did struggle to get chances for himself, but he, you know, there was a point in the match where I thought he was going to get straight through the Leicester defense, and obviously Johnny Evans catches him. Also, I think there were times when, you know, we talked about Jack Grealish maybe holding on to the ball a little bit long. There were times he was still making those runs, Watkins. He was still making them. It was just that it was a little bit more difficult for him today because he's an attacker that likes to run the lines. He likes to, you know, stick on the defender's shoulder. And Leicester were quite far back today. They really were. So I think a lot of the times the only route into him was either to have a magical dribble through the defenders or, you know, reaching with a hopeless cross, and there was a lot of Leicester men around. So I think that's where he maybe struggles a little bit, but that's fine. Look, it's fine. We've had games like that before with strikers. You know, Villa went on a good run of form last season with Samatta barely getting any goals, and I think eventually it was just an example of the way the game went for Villa. They needed to get their shots going a little bit more, and maybe they needed to be a bit more direct to Watkins. But yeah, I don't think he had a bad game. I don't think it's anything to get upset about. It's the way that teams play. Yeah. The fact that Leicester put so much men on Watkins and Grealish meant that Villa had to find another way to win, and yo, they did.
Exactly. And like the thing I think, like the one thing I noticed most about Watkins is just the space he creates. Now, I'm not going to say anything that he created space for Ross Barkley on the game winner to set him up or anything like that, but it's still the little things, and it's the little things I notice the most with him, because I'm not putting any heat on Wesley or Samatta or Keenan Davis or whoever that would play up front for us at any given time, but he's just doing those small little 1-2s. The movement seems way more fluid. The communication seems there. Of course, that could be language barrier as well. As we know, we have a Brazilian striker. And of course we had, I can't even remember Samatta's heritage now, but anyways, you know what I mean? Yeah, there you go. So like maybe that's something to think about too, but nonetheless, he's doing the small things that matter. But Danny, let's go to Twitter right now, and I'll read out some comments, because of course if you want to tweet us, it's at 7500 toll each match. Hopefully right after the match I will ask you guys what's your thoughts, and you can kind of get your thoughts involved. I'll read them out, yada yada yada, all that good stuff. So of course I think there's over 13 of you so far that have got involved. Thank you very much. It's always appreciated, and I'll just pick three or four today. I like this one because I have so many check marks, and I'm a big fan of check marks. So his name is Flip Flop, and it says, beat a team with 10 men, check. Beat a newly promoted team, check. Scalp a top six, double check. Grind out a tight, hard-fought win, check. We are a different beast this season. Up the Villa. Fair enough, and absolutely agree with that one. Next one comes from, sorry, Bruce, if I pronounce your last name wrong, Bruce Permid. Kind of game tonight we would have lost last season. They have had better chances, but we stayed in the game and thought emphasis changed when Traore came on. Biggest concern is if Ezri or Ty not available. Brilliant 3 points, though. Love it. Up the Villa. Tom Jones says, we were different without being brilliant, and we matched them, even created the better chances. That shows how incredibly far we've come since March. Just look at those Trezeguet's work rate, for an individual example. What a job by the players and coaches to get there. Up the Villa as well. And we will end with Eddie M. And he says, Jack tried to force the issue a lot earlier on, loosened up in the final 15-20, but you could see the tail end of the break weighing on him a bit more. So, you know what? That's fair enough. Thank you very much. We'll end it there. Sorry to the 9+ or so of you that I didn't get to. Of course, I will look at those, get some favorites on those, and reply to a few of those later. But, of course, thank you for getting involved. Danny, let's go back to the Ross Barkley goal, because we kind of touched on it, but didn't really, because we got on, Jack Grealish again. Of course, like we've said, Ross Barkley opens himself up in the middle. And just for that 1 second, I thought, you know what? Just have a hit at it. It's so late on in the game. It's literally the first minute of extra time. Why not just go for it? And he did, and it's in, even though I thought he somehow missed. But nonetheless, what were your thoughts on the goal? What are your thoughts on, really, the signing of Ross Barkley so far?
Right, so, okay, Ross Barkley, first of all, I think he's a fantastic. I said it from the start. He's one of the players that I want. That I had on my wish list. I'm very, very happy that Villa got him because he's showing that versatility. He's showing that he can be box to box. He can do the defensive work. He's got all that energy, and he can offer something going forward. Nice to see him score a banger because I know he struggled to get his shots away in the Liverpool game. He still got a goal. But yeah, if you ever wonder why Villa play out from the back, this is it. You know, this all comes from Tyrone Mings. You know, finding target in space. And then McGinn does his pivot thing. He's like a 360 player. You never know which way he's going to turn. He's like he's got eyes in the back of his head, right? The way that he dummied and found Ross Barkley, and I don't know what's happened here, right? Because it seems like a bit of a lapse in concentration from Leicester's defending to just kind of have Ross Barkley in that much space. But yeah, the confidence from him to shoot from there, I'm just very happy to see that because, yeah, you know, that could have easily gone well over the bar. You know, sometimes those don't go in. You know, most of the time those don't go in, Cole. But yeah, driven, hard, low. It's a nightmare for the keeper, those ones.
And that was with his right foot as well. Is he left or right foot?
No, he's right. He's right-footed, yeah. But yeah, but in the Liverpool game, he just kept shooting with his left foot. And I've got no clue why.
Well, the man can do both. No, it's good to know.
So I Googled this, right? Because I Googled, why does Ross Barkley shoot so much with his left foot? And I don't know why I Googled that.
Did you actually get results on that?
No, but what I did find out, that I think it was like January of this year, apparently, like, I think Ross Barkley, I can't remember what happened, whether he had some sort of an injury with his right foot or something, but Frank Lampard kept making him shoot with his left foot, kept making him train left-footed for some reason. Yeah, it's kind of funny anyway that he shot so much with his left foot in the last game. It's just what happened. But that's his sweet foot, man. And when he shoots with that one, there you go. It was actually pretty Lampard-esque in the end, that.
Oh, 100%.
Very, very, very mid-2000s England midfielder. Well, from the position that he scored from.
You really can't put it any better where he put it, literally in that far left hand, like literally where the mesh kind of turns from the side netting to the actual central netting part. So, like, fair play. Honestly, I didn't think he had a hell of a chance going in, and it still did. So fair enough to him. It's nice to know we have a dual threat in terms of shooting from both feet. Of course, the left one was a deflection against Liverpool, but nonetheless, I will take it. I really
can I just say.
Care. Yep.
Can I just say as well, right? You know, he's got an option in Watkins in that moment as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. You really have to pause the frames to like find it, but you know, he really does have an option to play Watkins through there as well.
Yeah.
So in that moment, Watkins is drawn out defenders as well. It's just, man, Villa last season, were we scoring 90th minute winners? I don't think so.
I'm Watford happy. Maybe the only one, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. And how late was that Trezeguet goal against Leicester in the cup?
I honestly can't remember. I just remember being excited.
Doesn't matter. Either way, the timing just did not look nervous.
Yeah, fair enough. So, Danny,
were you nervous at that point?
Not really. No, there were some instances like when Madison came on. I thought, okay, maybe tired legs. You can kind of go down that route and think that way. Of course, I'm feeling confident before the game, and then when it kicks off, you get those like little nerves for the first few minutes, but. Once kind of both sides settled into it, canceling each other out, once again, fair play to Leicester for their defensive effort. It was very well fought and valiant. And I definitely respect those defenders because they have quality defense, even with Soyuncu out. So that's obviously good for them. But no, I wasn't really too nervous. I mean, it's weird with Villa this season because I think you can agree with this, Danny, that you'd probably go into this game feeling super nervous. You wouldn't really know what to expect. You would probably take a point, like you said. And now we're going into this with a 3-game win streak, 9 out of 9. And you're thinking, you know what? Like, even I said this even to my girlfriend before. Well, I said, I think we're going to win. I said 2-1. And then I said, okay, you know what? After 50 minutes, I'll take a draw. So I think it's kind of just the ebbs and flows of the game. But how did you feel about it?
Yeah, no, I think I was getting nervous near the end, but not in the same way I was last season.
Yeah.
I was nervous because it was two good teams. I was nervous because Leicester have it in them, right? There's no denying how exceptional a player that James Maddison is and what kind of difference he might have made. And there were good performances in that Leicester side.
Oh, 100%.
As I say, Wesley Fofana was really good. Tielemans at times looked good. Harvey Barnes is always a little bit dangerous, but I just think that Villa did not allow Leicester to get a hold of the game, even though there was kind of like, I think 10 minutes between the 75th minute and the 85th minute, I think I was a little bit worried, right? But Villa, they're not the same team as last year. They're not the same team. You know, they're not falling asleep at the back this late on in the game anymore. They're switched on. And because of that, if Leicester had scored, I would have gone, right, fair enough. Do you know what I mean? Fair enough. Chess match. Brendan Rodgers is a good manager. There's no denying that. So in a way, I'm happier with the win today than I was with a win over Liverpool. It doesn't compare. It's not the same kind of thing. But I think it just kind of solidifies my belief in Villa. Like after today, I know that Villa can get it done when a good team turns up against them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, we're just good, aren't we? But who is your man of the match? It's tough. Like, honestly, I'm still thinking. Like, I'm not exactly 100% sure.
I might get slaughtered. I'm Matty Cash.
No, that's fair.
I'm going to give him Matty Cash. I just think he made... I just think that he shut off those Leicester counterattacks so well. I think he provided so much. I think you can make a case for Trezeguet. You can make a case for Barkley because for that screamer. You can make a case for Grealish as well. But I'm gonna go with Matty Cash. I was just very, very happy with his performance today. I just thought that you know, often right backs, full backs, they can go underappreciated. And I just think that in a 1-0 victory where no attacking player really stood out for Villa, I'm gonna give it to him.
No, that's fair. You know what? Special mention to Emi Martinez as well. I think you could kind of argue that as well. Of course, he's not really facing many shots, but just coming out, being a force. I think there's one in the first half where Iheanacho kind of like slapped him or punched him on the chest when he was kind of coming through to clear it. It was deemed offside anyways. Just the clarity at the back, it seems crystal clear in terms of communication. Made some saves when he needed to. His delivery as well, I just love how he takes it. He literally like shifts his body completely sideways and it doesn't go too high, it just goes like straight. Love to see that, but nonetheless, I'll kind of take the coward's way out, if you will. I'm gonna go with Ross Barkley, not because of the goal, but his overall performance today. And maybe it's not coming from an attacking perspective, but I just love the fact that he was able to move forward, kind of take a bit of the onus off of Jack, maybe is not as much as we'd expect or hope or maybe would have liked, but also the ability to drop back and support your center backs, Matty Target, kind of just that communication where at times he was literally right next to Mings or Konsa if Mings was out of position to kind of make those deliveries where there was a few balls where, okay, we're just kind of playing it back to the keeper, trying to move them side to side because they're doing a high press. And you see, of course, Barkley comes back, drops into that, makes another option, which he's not being picked up. He's able to switch it to the likes of Matty Cash or Trezeguet. And we're easily just able to break kind of out from that. And that's another thing we definitely wouldn't have seen from last season. So kind of kudos to that man. And we'll go from there. But let's go to Fantasy League here for a second. A bit of an issue. It's tricky with these Sunday games because the Fantasy Premier League stats don't usually get updated for another few hours. So, of course, you're listening to this on a Monday morning. We're doing this pretty well almost after the game. So I'll just give a few shout outs. I can't really give an update to the standings because they haven't been finalized as of yet. But congratulations to Jonathan Hayes, the Claret and Blue, with 95 points. Let's see here, 4-5-1. I just got that now. Sam Frost with 77 points. Let's look for another one here. And to Nick Pitt, Pitty's Tricky Villa with 91 points. So well in, well played to you all. I'm sure you'll have a few more points once bonus points get in as well. So yeah, thanks for joining the Holtcast Cup. It's always appreciated and we'll see who the winner is come the end of it. I'm not even going to look how me and Danny did because I honestly completely forgot to change some of my team. So
it's a slow process.
It's definitely more of a marathon than a sprint. But of course, I should say thank you to 1-11 Kits for sponsoring the Holtcast Cup on the official FPL app. And of course, you can do it on the website as well. Go check them out on Twitter. All it is spelled out 1, the number 2, spelled out 11, Kits altogether, all the kind of kits you want in terms of use kits, good memorabilia. Hell, I've even seen them have stock from like the late 90s to the early 2000s. So it's really kind of cool to see how these things are still in the original like Reebok packaging from when they sponsored Villa, or not sponsored, but were the kit manufactured all those years ago. So it's still kind of cool to see things like that, but go check them out. It's very much appreciated. But Danny, if you don't have anything, let's wrap it up.
Yeah, let's wrap it up, dude. Very big victory for Villa. 4 on the bounce. That's 100% win ratio. Second to none.
Yeah, you can kind of tell it's a 1-0 when we're going through all these things. And we're sitting here looking at it, trying to make kind of as much interesting topics as we can. And albeit it was a good game, but like you can just tell at the end, we're just like, oh, okay, well, yeah, we'll just end it there.
Worth mentioning, right, in terms of Europe's top leagues, the yes. only teams with 100% win ratios at the moment are Villa yep. and AC Milan. So there you go. You know, this is rare. And yep. I think it's 4 wins on the opening games of the season for the first time since 1931.
Yeah, if you follow me on Twitter, ignore that. I kind of have to tweet that out. It was 91, not 19. Apparently, even the commentator got it wrong. So whoever that commentator was, I have to have a word with you. But anyways, Danny, let's wrap it up there. Thank you all to listening, as always. And thanks to Danny for joining me. If you want to find Danny on Twitter, it's at RazaJurno. If you want to find me on Twitter, it's at TalkAstonVilla. All together, we make up the Holtcast. Follow the 7500 to Holt team on Twitter, at 7500 to Holt. You can email us, holtcast@gmail.com. We'll leave it there. Hopefully, another win come next Friday against Leeds. But don't forget, up the Villa.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.